almost nothing to this show.
No. it means that we have a very special guest to do our introduction.
Oh, well, let me tell you something, dudes.
No.
Welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast, brother. And it's your boy. It's your dude, your main man, Hulk Hogan here, telling you to check in live. Wait, you're not live? Okay, never mind, bro. We're going to take it to the stratosphere, dude. And we're going to talk all about video games, brother. We got Steve Jimenez. Okay, he's the creative director over at TikTok Games, brother. And developer of Wrestle Story, dude. A hard-hitting, smack-talking RPG adventure, brother.
Wow. Hulkster, thank you so much. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Intro.
The Hulkster's here, yeah. And so is the Macho Man. Create your wrestler. Your tag team, yeah. And slam your way all the way through an expansive 3D world where wrestling is everything. Oh, yeah.
Welcome, Steve. How you doing, bud?
That was amazing. That was awesome. I wish that we rehearsed that so I could try out a few different... Macho Man's myself, so we could be
I've been thinking about it since we canceled last week.
That was so good, dude. Thank you so. That was actually a real, like, a lot of people have the Macho Man, but not a lot of people have the subtlety of the Hulk Hogan. You had all the notes,
the gargling his words.
That
a
was
lot.
Really,
yeah.
Really
it's good, it takes listening and watching wrestling your entire life to really get the cadences of these cartoon characters and superheroes. So,
well, that was well done.
I appreciate that. Well, welcome to the show, man. And you're making a wrestling game, which is a dream of mine. I've always wanted to make a wrestling game. But you know, let's just let people know that, guys, you're listening and or watching the Dual Screens Podcast. It's the internet's number one indie developer interview podcast across the entire interwebs. Probably, the show posts in each and every week for your listening pleasure, except last week, which kind of, it still is gonna be posted like now. You should be listening to it now or watching it. Actually, you're definitely listening to it, but the YouTube version was slowed up because Andy, his internet died for like a week, so
it was stolen. It was
severed. It was literally severed.
It was sabotaged.
It was
a bit of a swerve. Yeah.
He was
wrestling terms, right?
For like,
yeah. So we're back on a regular schedule now, though. So you guys should be getting plenty. And actually, we are, as of today, as of recording, we are celebrating our sixth anniversary at Dual Screens. This is our sixth year in existence. So congratulations to you, Andy. And congratulations to you, Steve. You are celebrating our sixth anniversary with us.
Yeah, that's special. Thank you. I haven't done anything for 6 years consistently. So congratulations.
Neither have we.
That's amazing. How many?
I think we last 6 weeks.
How many episodes? See, of this particular show, it should be about 175.
Math is hard.
We did 300 and change. No, 100 and
300 additional ones. Oh, you're saying total.
There was the Dual Screens.
There was 126 of the other one.
Yes, 126 of Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast. Yes. Then we rebranded to Dual Screens Podcast. We also had Crossplay Podcast at one point that has been shelved, and we still do Indies Nuts Podcast. So
countless dozens and dozens of hours of
talking.
So we could really like
well over
splice together an AI.
I would love to.
Oh,
do
that'd
that.
Be dope.
That's my life.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Do the
yeah.
show for me.
Yeah.
Just give it a topic and let
I
it
would
go.
Love to know if AI would can determine if a guest is cake worthy.
Oh my goodness.
We'll get to that later, Steve.
Okay, I was going to say this is
that's some intense AI training.
Folks,
I want to be a part of that.
Folks, if you like what you hear or like what you're listening to and you want to support Dual Screens, it's very easy. You go to patreon.com/dualscreens, just like our Patreon producer Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We can't continue to grow without all of your support. So please share the show with your friends, leave a comment, like, do all that fun stuff, but if you want to support us with your hard-earned dollar bills, y'all, $1 gets you into our VIP Discord and some bonus content, so you can just head over to our Patreon and do that. Become part of the VIP community. We hang out there all day and talk.
What do you need
massive
extra
smack.
Couple dollars for? Guys?
Not even. It's like a $1. You know.
Yeah. What do you need that?
$1.
You don't need that for anything.
Nobody needs a dollar. Not one person needs a dollar.
Not
one person.
That's
right,
the
Andy.
One quote that comes out of it.
That's the one.
me, <yep. laughs>
Two Steves and an Andy say nobody needs a dollar.
This is not my favorite kind of tag team, guys.
I don't like this at all. Wrestling people are very
and the topic
special.
Is wrestling. I am.
So would you like for me to take our ceremonial first question?
Oh, by all means, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No problem. All right. I'm not prepared for this. Andy usually does this for every episode.
I had
episode.
One in mind, just in case.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. You guys are like breaking the cycle right
now. We're breaking it. Well, Andy's giving me the hot tag, and I'm going to come in here.
Yep.
And I'm going to get the crowd riled
the crowd's
up.
Crowd's been waiting for Steve to get tagged in for 300 plus episodes.
That's it.
So they're hot. They're hot.
They're
right
hot.
Now.
They're just, yep. We've been on. Yeah. Andy's been getting his ass kicked. here's a question for you. Who is the greatest professional wrestler of all time?
Oh,
I think for a really long time, my answer would have been Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through sort of like a Bret Hartessence right now.
Yes, you are.
You know what I mean?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
I am. Yeah. It's been a tough road for me to get here, but I feel like I've matured. You know, I feel like I've grown.
I had to redecorate, so I can't find my Bret Hart thing, but I have an autograph of him and everything. He's my favorite wrestler of all time as well.
That's awesome.
And I always have the argument about Shawn Michaels. I'm like, Shawn Michaels had two good years, then he fell to drugs, and then had three good years. Like,
you're describing every rock band ever, right? Like,
exactly.
Maybe not the three good years afterwards.
Yeah, but there's so few rock bands that you can say, yeah. Oh, you're the greatest. Like, you had the longevity. You're the greatest of
all
time.
It's true.
But
it's true. Someone asked me that. I was at PAX, and there was someone that asked me, like, who my Mount Rushmore was. And that's when it gets really hard. Do you know what I mean? Because
there's so many definitions that you can use.
Yeah, I'm like, it's the modern Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
the
I love
classic
that question,
one.
By the way.
Yeah.
Well, like Andy, there are different categories. It would be like saying you're around Mount Rushmore of video games. Like, do you pick
I understand.
Miyamoto, Kojima, Mario, and fucking Master Chief? Like, how do you pick the characters from the
My
creators?
My favorite video game protagonist, Miyamoto.
Yeah, right? But, like, for me, like just, you know, Vince McMahon is on that Mount Rushmore just for what he did. But, like,
I could see that, yeah.
I could replace him with, like, 50 wrestlers that you know, people would want to see on there more.
It's like your underdog ones, the ones that you're going to like hold up, right? Because they need
like
more attention.
Who's
more
the greatest
love.
Wrestler? Like, no, the greatest wrestler isn't always the best wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, 100%. You know, like Stone Cold, Steve Austin has got to be on the Mount Rushmore for what he did for wrestling. Hulk Hogan's got to be on it for what he did for wrestling. I wouldn't put Undertaker on it because Undertaker, while he had the longevity and was really good at what he did, he was never the guy.
I think we're like on the same wavelength there. Like, Undertaker is
Ric Flair.
Awesome, but yeah.
Ric Flair's on there
Ric
for
Flair's
me.
Ric Flair's up there for me for sure.
You know, and then I think Vince rounds out my top. And you know, Bret Hart, as although I believe he's the best technical wrestler of all time and storyteller in the ring, he just didn't move the needle for long enough in my humble opinion.
He falls down real good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's a big real good fall downer.
Yeah.
Anyway, Andy, do you like podcasting? Because that's what we're doing.
I agree with all of what you all just said.
But the topic of the show, of course, is your game.
Yeah.
Steve, Wrestle Story. Tell us all about it. Give us the elevator pitch.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you and I think we have similar childhoods, probably, in the sense that I've watched wrestling my whole life. I've been wanting to make a wrestling game for as long as I've been making games, probably before that. You know, used to make like little cardboard wrestling games and things when I was a kid. But yeah, this is our wrestling turn-based RPG. It's inspired by all the games we grew up playing, you know, growing up, things like Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger and Paper Mario and the Super Mario RPG series, mashed up with obviously our love of pro wrestling and everything, you know, WWF, WWE, WCW, you know, everything that we grew up with. So I'm lucky enough to have an awesome team that just let me go crazy and do a bunch of stuff. And I got super invested. Even some of the people that weren't invested in wrestling are now huge wrestling fans. And we went to WrestleMania this year. And it's just
Did
been,
you really? Oh,
it's
that's
been
awesome.
Awesome. It's been so much fun. It's been so much fun. Yeah.
That's so cool. How the hell did you get that? How'd you pull that one off? Anytime I've ever gone to WrestleMania, it's been like somebody's been like, hey, I got a ticket. You want to go? And I'm like, yeah.
It's called market research, man.
Oh,
that's the trick, you know. You gotta make what you love, do what you love. This is basically just my reason to get closer to wrestling, you know.
I understand. I understand.
Like, screw it. I don't actually want the game. I just want to go to wrestling shows for my job.
Excellent tax write-off right there.
Oh, that's right.
That's why
right.
There's no like firm release window yet.
Yeah, I'm just gonna ride this thing.
Gotta ride it,
man. Off,
you
man.
Gotta do it.
Gotta go watch some more wrestling to get some more inspiration. That's how we're gonna do it.
Indeed. So you always wanted to make a wrestling game. Why go the RPG route? Why not go like the traditional fighting game slash sim slash whatever?
Well, that's definitely something that, you know, I've been pondering for a long time. So I think like when I first started playing wrestling games, obviously that was before like character creators were a big thing. Right. Mm-hmm. But once the N64 came out and you had access to these like super robust, like amazing character creators, I would spend more time creating my character and creating like a headcanon for my character and creating a backstory and like what their journey might be. Right. And wrestling is all about long-term storytelling, and the wrestling video games are all about, you know, kind of fun arcade action with your friends. Right. So I just never felt satisfied by what those wrestling games were offering. And I wanted to be able to explore a world of wrestling. Right. So it just kind of all fell into place. It made sense when I looked at games like Final Fantasy and the kind of the larger storytelling that they allow for, or that they're best at, frankly. It just made sense. We're like, dude, we gotta do this. And the idea of a sort of the turn-based element was very much like wrestling tag teams. Like it's all about being tactical and double teaming and having different roles. Like you got your powerhouses, you got your high flyers, you've got your like more supernatural wrestlers. So all this RPG stuff just started like, and obviously we're just huge fans of RPGs as well at TikTok, but honestly, it sort of wrote itself. Like I almost can't even take credit for making the game in that way, because it just all kind of just came together like immediately.
Sounds like your next D&D campaign, Steve. How have you done a wrestling themed Dungeons and Dragons campaign?
Do you want to hear something?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear something, Andy?
Oh, good Lord.
I am currently in basically the alpha stage of a custom made, completely from scratch tabletop wrestling RPG game.
Awesome.
That our friend and other Dual Screens member Matt Murray, Missed Enough, has been gracious enough to test with me and give me some pointers and stuff like that. But I did actually write a full, like, I could publish it right now and people could play it and it works.
That is awesome. We need to talk afterwards. I want to play your game.
Yeah,
it sounds really fun.
It really is dope. I have a couple of things that I need to work out, but like,
yeah,
right now I have everything.
Is it kayfabe? Like, is the world kayfabe? Like for people that don't know, feel free to explain.
Kayfabe is keeping the ruse alive, right? That's showing people that it's real, that no matter what, these characters are real and whatever. So
in our game, the characters are real characters. Yeah. It's a sport to them. It's a competition to them.
Mm-hmm. So
but in your game,
in my game, you're playing a character, mm-hmm. but most of the game is played as the character. So cool. You could still meta certain things if you want your character to do certain things in the business wise, but there are everything that you're doing to the betterment of your character. So you do promo classes, you do like backs, and you're constantly gaining it. Basically what it is it's three little activities that lead up to your match, and depending on what you do in those activities, you get bonus points to use for your match. So if you cut a great promo, you get extra points. If you do like a backstage encounter, you'll get points. If you backstage politic or whatever, like you can get all these bonus points for when it's time for your match, and then you have your match with the DM one-on-one.
Dude, let's definitely play.
So it's pretty cool, and I'm more than happy to get you in there. But that's not what we're not here for, that man. We're here for
just
you.
Love wrestling and video games and tabletop.
I know.
That's all great.
I know.
Now I'm just like, I want to lift you up now.
Well, I could tell you one thing. Like, the thing that's tough about it is,
you have to say, oh, well, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something, dude. The tough thing about wrestling games, brother, is trying to really translate it down to actions, dude.
Yep.
But like when you're creating a wrestling RPG, like, the thing about wrestling is that it's all about storytelling in the ring. All these moves aren't just moves to weaken the opponent. Yep. A lot of the times they're choreographing this thing to tell a story. But as a video game and an RPG, and it's, you know, it's real to them. How did you make the decision on how you would use wrestling as the combat mechanics? Like, is it
cool?
You know, because it does. Like, for me, the hard thing about balancing it is like, even in the fighting video games, it's like if one guy's just beating the shit out of the other guy, it's not cool. It's not fun. Yeah. You want to see drama. You want to see these crazy moments. Are you looking to create stuff like that in your combat encounters, or is it more like level grind, get good, you know, do some really cool moves kind of thing and get through the story?
It's, I think it's hopefully like we're shooting for the best of both worlds, right? Where if you're somebody who wants to come in and level up your characters and fight a bunch and min max, like you can do that, right? The game's not really designed for someone to spend a ton of time like grinding. But as far as the wrestling elements, right? So like I said, this is a sport to them. So this is very real to them. So everything that they're doing is with the intention of defeating their opponent, right? But obviously in wrestling, the win conditions are different than say a battle in a fantasy setting or something, right? They're not trying to kill their opponents. They're trying to pin them, right? Right. And so in our game, we have a pin mechanic where essentially as you're fighting, you're sort of weakening their stamina and you can jump on and try to pin them at any time, right? And if you fail to pin, they're going to kick out and they're going to kind of follow up and punish you, right? They're going to gain the momentum and actually gain an extra turn and beat you down.
They're going to get some heat.
That's right. But if you pin them, right, and you succeed at that, you're going to get an extra turn and you're going to get like extra bonuses and XP and other things. Now, the big twist kind of comes with our like something that we sort of internally call our bravery system, which is like if you're a scared heel, you know, and you're getting beat down, you might try to escape or you might try to call for a chair or reinforcements, right? So you really need to like balance it, right? So if you don't pin a heel before they call for a chair or try to escape, you're going to miss out on the bonuses and XP and stuff from defeating them, right? Mm-hmm. So there's kind of that basic element of wrestling where the heels try to run away when they're getting beat up and you can't let them do that, right? Another thing is like when we have big boss battles, right? We're going to start so distracted by this
changing hat. That hat was so, this hat,
hilarious.
Fuck, this hat is so tight on my head that it was giving me a headache. So I swapped to the snapback. Look at this mark it made on my head. It like made a mark across my head. God, I'm like, no, dude. No mas.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Bad. Always look, always change your hat. Day. That just needs to be your new gimmick. You just change your hat.
I just change my hat in the middle of the show.
Yeah, they just get larger and larger and larger. Your camera pulls out to show the. And another great thing that we have is these really huge boss battles that have almost like set changes and stuff, right? So in a really cool wrestling match that you've been waiting for, you might have a moment where they're fighting in the backstage. You might have a moment where they're where they're like fighting outside in the parking lot and using cars and other things to, you know, maim each other in crazy ways, right? So in our game, when you get to these big boss battles, you'll actually have moments where it's like, for example, one of our main bosses that we've kind of showed off so far, he is the leader of the Knights of the Beer Pong Table. He's called the Party King. And he's this like sort of douchey party guy, but like royalty, right? And he takes you on a big pub crawl throughout the city as you're battling, right? So as you're fighting them, they're like, let's go, you know, like, and you go to a whole new location and continue your battle there. And it has different mechanics that you can kind of tie into. So all of the spectacle of wrestling is just amped up and spread across the real world, right? So it doesn't just take place in an arena and around an arena. All of that action that you might've seen that takes place backstage, that can spill out into any place in the world now.
Do you frame it narratively like a show, or is it like, this is just real life? These guys have beef. They're going to take it out.
So where like a WWE presentation is like, you've got your commentators and they are speaking as if they are commentators in sports.
Yeah.
The commentators in our game, they speak as if it is a sport, but they follow the kind of the stars through their life.
That's
right?
Awesome. So it's like a reality show.
I've never really thought about that, to be honest with you, but it's totally a reality show. And like a ref can show up out of nowhere, a reporter can show up out of nowhere. And there's just this idea that like, the world is constantly watching the most important wrestlers do their thing because
it's the Truman Show of wrestling.
It basically is the most important thing in this world is wrestling. Right. So these wrestlers are essentially like knights. Right. So when you see a wrestler, they hold high esteem, even if they're kind of a heel, like they're very much people that the community keeps an eye on.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Ramses in Nacho Libre, you know, he's a heel, exactly. But everybody loves him, you know?
Yeah. It's fun to like bad guys sometimes, huh?
It is.
Yeah. What sort of like RPG fluff is in this? Because, you know, you're not going to go around, I would imagine, fishing or rescuing stray cats, fucking Final Fantasy.
Oh, I see. When you say RPG fluff, you mean that like that cool stuff on
like
the outside.
Like the extra stuff when you're not battling in the ring.
Are you shooting dice in the alleyway and like?
Okay. Yeah. So, like, there's a lot of stuff that's unannounced, for sure, with this game. Mm-hmm. As far as that goes, we've shown mostly combat and general exploration.
Right.
But there are some cool, like, I'll give an example. We have like a little thumb wrestling kind of mini game.
Oh, that's neat. I love that.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything bigger or beyond that. But ultimately, things like, you know, card games in Final Fantasy, for example, have been heavily inspirational to us. I would love to have people playing a wrestling card game.
What was that? What was it called? Gambit? Was that what? No. What was it called in 8?
There was the Triple Triad.
Triple Triad.
Triple Triad Final Fantasy was 8. The eight. One for yeah. me. Yeah. Triple Triad, and then
that
even
was
up
the
to,
best one.
It's love so that game. Yeah, it holds up.
It's
for
so
sure.
simple.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. There's an elegance to all those games because you don't want someone to have to learn some crazy. You want it to be deep enough to where it's engaging and they want to keep going back to it. But like they did such a good job of making it about the card collecting and mm-hmm. a fun game too. Like yeah. I feel like Gwent kind of has mm-hmm. you know,
it's very
a,
similar.
A little bit of,
yeah.
of that as well, which is fun. Yeah. So, you know, more on that later. We don't have anything official to announce, but well,
let me ask you this.
There will be, as more you say, research. RPG fluff.
Good. Let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
I don't know how I could phrase this.
Just jump into it.
Well, hold on.
I'm trying to pressure you to say something.
No. It's we'll come back to it. I'll okay. find a way to phrase it the way I want to phrase it, but
okay.
We'll figure it out. Andy, what are you? You're a man about. Well, you get all the RPG questions out. Get some more RPG questions.
I just want to say, like,
yeah, let's
I,
get nerdy
again,
about it.
I don't care a lot about wrestling.
Okay,
and
all right.
Wrestling
see
games. Bye. No, but still.
What?
Okay.
Get him out of here.
What? You don't care about wrestling, son? What?
Oh man, are you trickling out the impressions over? Do you have like a couple more in there?
I have a lot.
Yeah,
I have a lot.
That's awesome.
But I want and need to play this game based on how you're describing. I think it can make someone like me love wrestling in a way that I'm not really prepared to accept
or
do.
That's really nice of you to say. Yeah, that's really nice of you to say, because that's definitely something that we have wanted to do with this game. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as my motivation is I'm a wrestling fan, I want to make a wrestling game that is, you know, that can rival a wrestling storyline, right? Like I want to follow Triple H throughout his, you know, 20 plus year career and all of the ups and downs and the weird marriage stuff that happened in the story, like all that crazy stuff, right?
No, hold on. Andy needs the context of this thing. Andy,
oh God,
let me take you. Let me let's take you down.
One,
we're gonna take you down a little.
The irony is, I grew up loving soap operas, which is what okay. you think I would love wrestling yep. a little bit more,
Andy,
or appreciate the storytelling aspects of it.
There was a wrestler named Test. Who was
rest in peace Test?
Rest in peace. He did pass away.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yep.
He was like 37 when he died too, like 36 sad. Or something, like very young. Test was dating Stephanie McMahon in the storyline. Stephanie McMahon meaning Vince McMahon's actual daughter. I think she might have been 20 yep. or 21 at the time when this whole thing was going on. She was very young. And in the storyline,
I regret bringing this up.
Andy needs context good. Here because this is the time. This is the story you wanted to see in video games. You wanted to explore this. So we're doing it. Okay. Triple H kidnapped Stephanie McMahon.
Uh-huh.
Drugged her.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Drove her through a drive-in chapel in Vegas.
Okay.
Married her. And then she wound up turning heel and falling for him completely Stockholm syndrome style.
Okay.
But here's the kicker. They're actually now married in real life and have 3 children.
Things are weird, man. Wrestling is a strange place. Wrestling is
it's you know,
I was just
had someone told me when I was like a 10 or 11 or whatever yeah. the fuck when I was younger, had said, "Andy, it's like Days of Our Lives, but the men are
in thongs
always naked
yeah
always
they're
naked.
In thongs
yeah, yeah.
And
how oily. Do I oily. Want to watch it now
yeah. oily it right strong now. And they, you know, they have cool move names.
Yeah, and they, like, and they come out to cool music.
If the men on Days of Their Lives had like move names, they would be like, you know, dramatically enter. Yeah, I don't know what you could do. What's like?
I mean, they all have dramatic entrances on Days of Our Lives. So
and in wrestling.
Yeah, you know, okay, it's theater. It's theater. It's
absolutely the same.
Don't they like? Do they ever die or come back from the dead or like have long lost siblings or shit? Like,
allow me to introduce to you the Undertaker.
Yeah, the Undertaker is quite literally a dead man.
So the Undertaker, Andy, his whole origin story is that he burned his house down with both of his parents and his brother inside. Yep. They ran a funeral home, and he burned them alive and was raised by Paul Bearer, a man named Paul Bearer.
Paul, P-A-U-L.
Bearer, B-A-A-R-E-R. Oh, yes, Undertaker. Yeah. Anyway, so the Undertaker who gets his powers... Like he could sit up in the middle of getting beat up, and he's like super strong because Paul Bearer
down on people.
Paul Bearer holds the ashes of his dead parents and holds it up, and Undertaker's like drawn to it. Anyway,
yeah.
Cue in the Attitude Era. Yes, he was buried alive. The Attitude Era comes, and Paul Bearer turns on the Undertaker, says, "Undertaker, I have a surprise for you." Anyway, Undertaker's surprise was Kane. Undertaker, your brother's alive.
He's returned, and from where?
from the damn ashes of. Anyway, so Paul Bearer brings Kane, the Undertaker's younger brother, who's bigger, stronger, absolutely more terrifying.
The big red machine.
The big red machine is what they. Yeah, the big red monster comes in. Anyway, they fight, and then Paul Bearer eventually reveals that he's Kane's father. He had an affair with Undertaker's mom before Undertaker murdered them and was actually Kane's real daddy. And they threw him down. They threw Paul Bearer down the stairs in a wheelchair. That was great. Hilarious. like there.
And sometimes one of the other of them would reach their hand through the bottom of the ring and pull someone
like
down,
like a horror movie.
And the announcers would literally be saying, "He's dragging him to hell. He's dragging him to hell." Like, and then that person would be gone for like a while, as if they had like been dragged weeks to hell. Yeah. Like,
meanwhile, they're just under there with a bunch of plywood.
Yeah. To recover. Oh my God.
Andy, you would have loved wrestling is what we're trying to say.
Yeah. It sounds based on what I know of you right up
there. Was a guy called the Boogeyman at one point in the early 2000s.
Ate a lot of worms.
Who ate worms
on live
television. Who was
that leather-faced looking guy?
Mankind. Yeah. Mick Foley. Yeah.
Who
Mankind.
Has four personalities. Dude, love Mankind.
Cactus Jack.
Mick Foley and Cactus Jack. Yeah. And they at one point wrestled at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wrestling's cool, man. So I wanted it to.
You wanted to capture
good
that
game.
And all of this informs your game, Steve.
It's incredible to me. It's
maybe not some of the gross things that WWE did back in the day. We tried.
Oh, you mean Mae Young?
Oh, well,
let me tell you about Mae Young, Andy.
Oh God.
Mae Young was an 80-year-old woman who wrestled for like 60 years. She falls in love with Sexual Chocolate, aka Mark Henry. They fornicate, and she's pregnant with his child. She's 80 something years old. She gives birth.
I regret bringing any of this up, by the way.
She gives birth to a human hand. Just a hand covered in goo. Then, like 20 years later, they have this whole like retrospective for Mark Henry. And they say, "Mark Henry, your son is here." And they had somebody cosplay in a giant hand costume come down. And it was fucking hilarious. Also, Kane had sex with a corpse named Katie Vick.
That's like the Glover remake I never thought I wanted to play.
Hamburger Helper. It gives the Hamburger Helper a whole new meaning if you watch the Mae Young birth hand.
Maybe
birth.
I shouldn't make this game.
No, you totally should. You got to lean on it. You got to lean on the absurdity.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's true. Wrestling is absolutely absurd. And that's the cool thing about it is that it we can say, hey, this is a world of wrestling, and we can have these like fantastical elements, right? Like we can have ghosts and hauntings and all of this crazy stuff that you might assume is just in a fantasy setting, yeah. right? We can get away with that. We can have all of that, and we can have different lands with completely different feels and themes. And it works because wrestling characters are diverse, you know, like in the way that, you know, the Avengers have a, you know, space god and a tech guy who makes suits and is rich. And, you know, more horror themed. Yeah, like in a way that they can do all of that in their movies and in one movie. Like, that's the cool thing about our games. We can have tons of different character types. We can have like a, you know, a wrestling scholar who is like trying to show her parents that like she deserves to be kind of the next generation. We can have a wrestling like basically ex like Old West gang member who's kind of turned on her team and joined with you. Like, we can have a whole bunch of crazy like, we have a guy that's literally just death in our game. Like, he's just death, you know, like, so I don't know why not.
What is the thrust, narratively yeah. speaking? What are you make your character mm-hmm. and you embark on this journey. What is kind of pushing you along to keep kicking ass and making your tag team and getting better, stronger?
Andy, obviously the end of the world is imminent and there's a giant meteor slash planet crashing to the earth.
If you don't German suplex that meteor,
if you, well, listen, if you could suplex a house in Final Fantasy, you car, can suplex anything in your game. Am I
That's
right?
True. Absolutely. Yes. Giant, that's our rule. That's our design pillar. Suplex anything.
It's a giant, like, creamy, dismembered hand antichrist of rising uh-huh. out of the ground.
And so you get it. You get it.
So, yeah, I mean, I would say that in general, right, in our world, if you're a wrestler, you're motivated to be the best, right? It's a sport, right? So it starts out very much that kind of basic journey of just a wrestler wanting to be the best. But much like wrestling, of course, you can't just chase the title and win the title. You can't just wrestle. You've got to go through the rigmarole. So I don't want to do any spoilers here because that's like part of kind of the narrative is like mm-hmm. unraveling this mystery. But let's say that there may be a massive conspiracy linking together all of these things. So basically, when you start at the beginning of the game, you are, you know, in a small town, you're kind of this wrestling prodigy, and you have your best friend, Carlo, who's been your long-term tag team partner, and you guys have really bonded over your lifetime. And by the way, this is a creative character, so you go and make your own character, choose their look, their backstory, a little bit about them. But essentially, you head out with Carlo to try to become amazing wrestlers outside of your small town. And, you know, a series of events happen, and basically all of the champions of each of the five territories.
Oh, territories. I love
that. So we have five territories in our game. They're all based on kind of real world wrestling hubs. We have, like, you know, Paradise City, which is kind of like our Florida, Miami mm-hmm. spot. We have like San Lucha, which is Mexico City, Neokio. You get it, right?
So Japan, all these you got your Northeast, mm-hmm. you got your Canada. Got
exactly.
it.
Right. Different wrestling styles, right? all around the world. And you want to go out and you want to become undisputed champion. You want to defeat the champions, but the kind of the baby face, the good guy champions that have been holding down those titles for a long time and kind of kept their region stable, which, by the way, if you're the champion, you're basically like the mayor of your city or your territory.
Not far so off from the 70s and
60s. You kind of make your rules, so, right? Yeah. Exactly. And so all of those champions all at once sort of fall. Right. And they get defeated by these relatively unknown heels, almost Godfather style overnight. All five of the crime bosses are X'd out and, wow. and now the new. So these new heels have taken over and they're causing chaos in each of the territories, and they all have their different kind of brand of chaos that they're bringing, and you have to go overcome them and their faction to become champion. But obviously that's not going to be as easy, so you're going to need to recruit different members,
get your stable,
etc. But by the end of the game, I can say that sort of motivation to become the best, your character and your team have that, but the stakes become much higher. So the kind of the meteor example that you gave, it's not exactly that, but it is similarly cataclysmic potentially for wrestling. Mm.
Andy, if you like absurd stories, I think this is
listen.
An RPG
if there
for
were
you.
If there was a way I could consume all of that soap opera goodness mm-hmm. in a streamlined and effective manner today, I would watch
mainline it.
Old wrestling. I would.
Listen, I could get you through the Attitude Era. We could do this together. You have Peacock. This is not difficult.
This sounds like a completely separate podcast that you guys are.
This absolutely is a podcast that Matt and I can walk you through.
Yeah.
Because Matt's another wrestling fan. We could definitely get you through that.
I want to watch it though.
No, yeah, we'll watch it together. We'll make it a Patreon thing.
I want to watch it.
We'll make it a Patreon thing. We'll do a watch along. We'll 3-2-1 play, and we'll just fucking talk you through it.
Yep.
I will do this, Andy, and I will. Yeah. And where I'll start it is we could start at the beginning of the Attitude Era. We'll start when Scott Hall shows up on Monday Nitro, so you could understand, or like right before it when he's still Razor Ramon, and then we'll kind of feed that into you. And we'll see how you feel about it. And we'll get all the way
It's kind of like knowing when to hop in like a comic book arc or something.
That's
like
exactly
it's like
what it is.
Almost equally like, yes. it's equally scary because it's this ongoing show that's been going for decades, right? Like, right. like, how do I start? Where's a good place to start? I think that could be a good place to start for sure.
For me, wrestling isn't any better than the beginning of the Attitude Era through 1999. And then obviously you get the super... roster when WCW collapses, but like, and that was great, but like nothing will top the zeitgeist that wrestling created.
I think
from 96 to 99.
I think that's true so far. I hope for the future that there may be opportunities for that
now that there's competition
change, but it's been, yeah, it's like, for me, what got me back into wrestling, I was kind of like a lapsed fan for a couple of years. And I got back in with like the Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania, just rooting for the ultimate underdog. And that's another really cool thing about wrestling is that, you know, for years it's been kind of ruled by these titans and these like Hulk Hogan type figures or these John Cena's or these big, huge, muscly guys. But now wrestling has sort of evolved and like the indie wrestling scene has allowed for so many other really talented and good storytellers who maybe aren't as big to become huge. And so that was that whole storyline with Daniel Bryan being this underdog. And, you know, that's kind of what you are to some degree in our game as well, which is like, it's very much inspired by like, you know, the momentum that Daniel Bryan was able to build during those years. And that has basically hooked me ever since. Now I'm back in wrestling for life, I think, at this point, thanks to that.
When you're creating your character, like how much say do you have in personality and like the type of,
yeah,
you know, the archetype you want to be? Are you the warrior of the party? Or like, how do you handle classes, like traditional RPG classes?
Yeah, so we have seven, currently we have seven total player characters that you can collect as a party. And each one of those characters has their own personality perks. So you're actually like, they're skill trees, which you're allocating in several different ways. So you can kind of spec individuals in different ways. Like, for example, Carlo, who's your best friend, he's like a hype man, and so you can spec him to be like a healer effectively, right? So in our game, hype equates to building stamina and building hype and building like getting your team back in the fight, right? So he's kind of like your hype man and your healer, but you can also spec him in more kind of a support kind of way where he's causing debuffs and stuff. For your character, it's very similar, right? So except you can change everything about how they look. You can change a lot of their animations. You can change their like entrance music. You can change their backstory stuff, which gives you perks and other things. So there's a lot more kind of like input and say that you have on your character. And then you can continue to gather things that will evolve your character more than the other characters, right? So the other characters, they kind of have their set path with variation, but for your character, you can kind of like learn from them and take some of their abilities from tag teaming with them and then kind of build this ultimate character for yourself.
This makes perfect sense to be an RPG, because I feel like the flair that you get out of playing a turn-based RPG,
yeah,
it lends itself so well to wrestling because it's all about signature moves,
yep,
and showstoppers
and building to those, right? And that's the cool thing about a lot of RPGs,
the crescendo.
Like those big epic boss battles that you get into, you've got to build to those finishes. And in our game, it's quite literally the same, right? You've got to build. So the crowd is wanting to be behind you and they want to be invested in you because their territories are being terrorized by these heels, right? So you're going to help build up the heat of the crowd. You still have to fire them up. And then they're going to support you more and more and more. And as you build up the heat, then you can sort of cash in that heat to do massive finishers, right? So in our demo we've shown off so far, we have a couple that are, you know, I think a lot of wrestling fans will recognize, but they're amped up to like 50, right? So like the pop-up powerbomb, for example, you might recognize that as something that like a Kevin Owens or someone uses. But in our game, the person literally gets flung up like 30 feet in the air and you jump after them and slam them down from the sky. We've got tag team finishing moves that are, you know, you're going to recognize from, you know, taking inspiration from like, you know, Road Warriors and, you know, the Dudleys and modern tag teams like the New Day and others that have these really cool like combo tag team finishers. So as you go, you're going to unlock, as you build synergy with your team, which we have a literal bonding system, you're going to unlock like different tag team moves together. So it's all, that's been like the most fun, honestly, because as a kid, like watching like Legion of Doom do the Doomsday Device or the Road Warriors do the Doomsday Device, I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. That's the coolest wrestling move.
Describe it for Andy. He needs to know.
All right. So like one of the guys would be standing on the ground, right? Standing up, and they would put their opponent like seated over his shoulders. Like imagine
chicken
his
style.
Legs. Yeah. Yeah. Like
what, chicken fights. Chicken.
Yeah. Or chicken fights. Yeah. So he's sitting up, and then another guy would go to the top rope and jump and clothesline the guy off of the shoulders, and they would topple downward, backward. And
it was right never safe.
It was scary, for sure. Like looking back on it,
taking
was
that move was
that
incredibly
also,
dangerous.
The threat of bodily harm also is a factor for me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to YouTube this for you, Andy, so you can watch it. Lord.
I kind of want to know like what, because it sounds like such a huge passion project for you, Steve.
Oh, and yeah.
What put you on the path to make this game now? Because as a studio, I did some research, and I think you've, not you, but we've had you guys on the show before. Mm-hmm. Remember that game called Bark, My Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I said, remember of course.
That, remember that game?
I remember Bark. Yeah, Bark.
And then
before
that, there was a game called Adventures of Pip, a little evolving pixel guy kind of thing.
Yeah,
He's like 2-bit, 8-bit, 16-bit. So I'm looking at the trajectory of, like, you know, those games leading up to this.
Yeah.
Why is now the good time to do this, to explore this passion of yours?
Yeah.
To make this dream come true. What brought you to this moment?
So, I mean, first of all, or that's funny. First of all, no, it's okay. those guys are cool. That's going to be a dope game. As far as Pip, which is one of the studio's kind of first, like, kind of console projects, you know, a lot of thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah, I originally met Sharif, who's our CEO and founder of the company, met him back in like 2011 or something, 2012-ish. And I was working at a company called Majesco, and they pitched us this idea called Adventures of Pip. And so we worked on that game with them, and it was this basically the concept is it's a single pixel that kind of evolves and changes into like an 8-bit, 16-bit, and you get different abilities based on kind of where you're at in your evolution chain, and you save a world of pixel characters, and it's cool. And so a lot of that legacy really came out of, you know, Sharif working on a lot of platformers. A lot of the people that worked at TikTok at the time were like X Way Forward people, and you know, spent a long time working on, you know, Nintendo handheld platformers, you know, and that was really kind of their bread and butter for a really long time. And they were really great at making those games. And then since then, you know, we've kind of evolved. And I think Bark was another kind of thing where we were like, we really want to do a really fun, like simple enough game to pick up in co-op to where you could just get your family together, or get your friends together and just do that kind of pick up and play. We sort of missed that. And we wanted to really bring that genre of shmups to people that maybe weren't super hardcore, right? Like the genre itself used to be one of the most popular genres for a reason. It's simple, it's easy to get into, it's really fun and engaging, but it got super niche because it just got more and more bullet helly, right? And so we wanted to kind of open that up to more players. And also do some really nice hand-drawn animation and kind of flex our skills there, and our character design. And then I think as the years went by, we've just been thinking like, okay, how do we make the next step, right? What's the next logical evolution for us? And then that was really like hey, a big kind of 3D engine game, right? We had done a lot of work with 3D on some of our mobile games. Like we made like a Funko Pop game with tons, like literally like 300 animating Funko Pop characters. Like, so we just had this huge 3D team, and we're like, man, it would be great to do a kind of a big 3D game. And simultaneously to that was when I was kind of having this idea about doing this wrestling game. And so it all kind of came together. And the thing that I really like about it is that, you know, it's still this very cartoony, bright and vibrant style, which is something that we've always kind of done at TikTok. It's something that, you know, our artists, you know, who are, a lot of them are like CalArts trained and folks that are like, you know, very interested in cartoony and stylized animation and characters. It really, I think, sets us apart, right? Because this could, like, for us, we could have made the gritty buff guy wrestling game. We could have done that, right? And I think that would have, we could have done that well, but this is our personality. And I think the difference is we could have made the gritty buff guy wrestling game, but no other studio could have made the wrestle story looking game, right? Like, and that's what I'm so proud of as a studio, is that like we've trusted our instincts and gone with, you know, building these fun cartoony worlds that hopefully we can infuse some heart into, and that people will be connected with the characters on.
Yeah, I do love that Steven Universe quality of the art in this game.
Yeah, it's
cartoons, sure. And wrestling just go together.
Like I met your artist Zoe at PAX, and she's a delight and ultra talented. And
Zoe is
cool, man.
One of my favorite people that I've ever worked with, because she doesn't look at me like I'm crazy when I give a suggestion or when I describe something. I'm like, it should go like this. Like, I'm just making a bunch of sound effects and motions, and she's like, oh yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. And here's a better version of it. You really do. You really do.
Pull the crazy out of my head.
Exactly. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, our lead programmer PJ, our designer Jesse, like there's so many super talented people that I'm just grateful that have been like open to this crazy world of wrestling, right? We do have wrestling fans at the studio, but actually I'm the only one of like the kind of the three major leads on the team that was a wrestling fan before starting on this project. And I just indoctrinated them. And I was like, we're gonna sit down. Here's like, I made documents on documents of like, here are all the wrestling terms, and here is how wrestling works, and this is wrestling logic, and this is the key moments of wrestling history, you know, like.
Is it a design doc? No.
Design doc. Yeah.
Sure.
Design doc, fanfic, whatever.
Yeah. I may have thrown in my own personal, you know, story made up. I love the idea that like I
autobiography.
I wove myself into the history of wrestling somehow. And they're like, oh, this guy Slingshot Steve is incredible. He's amazing.
Slingshot Steve.
Oh my God.
It's funny that he is the most important wrestler in history.
I was going to ask you what your backyard wrestling
That's a rapid fire question.
Slash,
you've already got it.
What your created character in, you know, No Mercy and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when I used to have wrestling matches, I was lucky enough to be able to have a younger sibling who...
yes.
You know, who I could lift up and toss around.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
And who was into it and having fun, luckily.
And not breaking bones.
Yeah. Well, thankfully.
Indeed. Well, speaking of rapid fire, Andy, it is time to slip into something comfortable and get into our rapid fire.
Oh boy.
So now we know you were Slingshot Steve.
Mm-hmm.
What was your theme song?
Oh my God, this is embarrassing. Okay. So, I'll go with, something that was really popular at the time that I actually put into, I want to say it's like the Xbox era, era it was where you could load your own song.
It was raw.
Yep. Okay. Do you know CKY?
I do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Bam Margera's brother's band.
Uh-huh.
There was that one song. I don't know any of the other songs, but there was one song and I still like hum it to this day.
Yep.
And then it's got the worst verse ever. But when that riff kicks back in, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, this is the perfect, like, I'm going to strut out to the ring song. So I would say, I don't remember the name of that song, but it's the Bananap song.
Yeah. The Bananap. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's got like a long title. Look it up. It's and then play the intro and then stop the song.
Go ahead.
See, I know that band because all of my friends liked wrestling and they also liked CKY.
Hmm.
It's the perfect wrestling intro. I'm surprised that no one's
like,
pulled that
like
out.
Half my friends liked sports, other half liked wrestling. And there's a little like a gaming cross section between all three of us. But
it's hard to not see that cross section come out when you're like,
was it 96 Quiet Bitter Beings? Was that the name of the song?
That sounds right to me. Yeah. I knew it had a number in it and it was really long.
Yeah.
So yes. Yep.
Yeah, all right, this is an interesting take on a similar question you just asked.
I'll be the judge of that.
About naming. I would like to explore a career in wrestling. Steve, I want you to name my character. Who am I with my persona based on this last hour or so chat we've just had? Maybe some of the stuff back here can inform you.
I was going to say.
On the personality a little bit.
So I mean, honestly, like this conversation has mostly been you being curious about wrestling. So it's hard for me not to think of like kind of like a Curious George kind of vibe, like a you know, that's more of like a 60s feeling wrestler, like a 50s, 60s feeling wrestler to me. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I could see you doing like a vaudevillian.
Yeah,
like old timey with the tights.
Yeah, you're like sort of a man out of time.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Curious George. It is. We're gonna go with Curious George.
I'm into that.
I think that might be copywritten. I mean, it could be public domain.
It's never stopped wrestling before. Remember,
bring it back.
Wasn't there a dude that was just Sub-Zero in wrestling for a while?
Have there been clones in wrestling? Can I be a clone? Maybe.
There have been clones.
There were two Undertakers. There were two Canes.
What? Yeah, there was a couple of. There might have been two Diesels at one point.
There was, but that was the character, not the person.
My Lord. Yeah,
okay. Fair enough. Yep.
And a fake Razor Ramon as well.
Fake Razor.
Yeah. Oh, fakes.
Yep. Fakes.
There was Bill Goldberg, and Gilbert. Right. Yeah. Gilbert was kind of like this smaller, like scrawnier
he
person.
He was the normal sized person. He was 5'4", 140 pound dude. Yeah. And then there was Goldberg, who was 6'6", 350 of muscle.
Gilbert.
Yeah.
He was the light heavyweight champion.
He was also the hardcore champion at one point, I believe. And I think he won the 24/7 title not that long ago, maybe a couple of years ago.
Oh my god!
Like very
24/7 title is when you can just bring a ref around and they like pin someone. I think someone threw that in the trash recently. Yes. That's how they get rid of belts on WWE. Yeah. They're like, oh, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, we're gone.
Literally throw it in the trash.
Good times. Good times had by all. What was your finishing move?
Oh my god, my finishing move.
I could do this.
Was definitely a cutter because it's the easiest thing to do on someone. It had to be like the diamond cutter or something.
I was a big fan of the Blockbuster.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Those are always fun.
Anything where you can do it to anyone of any size.
Yeah. Yeah. And all I gotta do is fall.
Yep. Yeah. That's why everyone does the super kick. But that just hurts yourself.
Super kick
hurts your pants.
Yeah. Know? Slap your thighs. You know what Jim Cornette says? This generation ain't gonna have cauliflower ears. They're gonna have cauliflower thighs from slapping their thighs. Andy,
is it me now?
Yeah, it's you now.
Speaking of slapping thighs,
yeah,
Andy.
if wrestling matches were illegal, what would their street name be? You're out on the streets.
You want to trade some tapes.
A good brawl, yeah.
If they were illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. A turnbuckle beat 'em up for. You're saying like a drug? A drug name?
You want some of this turnbuckle beat 'em upper? I got some turnbuckle beat 'em uppers here.
Yeah.
$3 for $5.
Now I want to know I don't even know what line of thinking you're going down, so I want to hear
like what would you refer to wrestling as if you
meat
couldn't
slaps.
Say like
yeah, big meaty men slapping meat.
Yes. Yeah. You want to watch some meat slaps? Meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
it sounds like, you know, at the butcher shop, like some leftover crap.
Yeah, you want some meat slaps?
Yeah, I'll take some.
I get some nice cured meat slaps.
I got some meat slaps from the 80s. I got some meat slaps from the 90s. Whatever meat slaps you like.
I got some raw meat slaps for you.
I guess, Monday Night Raw. That checks out.
I like
that's it.
That checks out.
I'm going to go watch some meat slaps.
Going to watch some meat slaps tonight.
Yep.
Me and Andy are going to watch some meat slaps and make a podcast out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll make our meat slaps into a podcast.
Yes, we're going to make our meat slaps into a podcast, Andy. Hey, there's an audience for everything.
Yeah.
There's an audience for everything.
We've always been saying Dual Screens After Dark.
Dual Screens After Dark
is the gateway into that darkness.
Speaking of After Dark, let's get into our next rapid fire question. It's late night, Steve. It is late night.
Mm.
You are feeling a bit snackish. What is your go-to midnight snack?
I feel like it's two things because I like to kind of get both sides, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they have Trader Joe's where you guys are. I think they do, probably.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Trader Joe's has an ice cream sandwich. It's got two cookies, and then it's like around the rim with chocolate chips as well. Extremely
the man of culture.
The chip witch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that thing goes pretty hard. So I'll probably dig into one of those. And then after that, I'm like, oh, that was a little sweet. I need to balance that out. So let's get some pretzels. Let's get some rolled gold, just classic pretzels, and just go to town on those guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like a little amuse-bouche after the full deal.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That happens too often. Very late after I finish playing Tears of the Kingdom, maybe at 2 a.m. And then I just go nuts.
He said, finish Tears of the Kingdom. Funny.
Can I just say a quick side remark that I've been so engrossed in this conversation about wrestling, which I don't care about. I have not thought about Tears of the Kingdom once.
That's a huge compliment.
That is a credit to you, Steve. That's Steve.
Good. Yeah. GG. Yeah, I give it more to Steve with his impressions.
It's definitely Steve.
I'm sitting here with my mouse hovered over a 2-minute video of LOD doing the Doomsday Device to a bunch of people.
Just back to back.
Just watching Doomsday it over devices. And over again. People,
yeah.
Big meaty men doing backflips, nearly breaking their neck.
Yep.
It's just wonderful.
All right. So I love this question.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to ask it.
Love it up.
It's late. It's also late.
It's the nighttime portion of the question.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your loved ones get a phone call that you've been arrested. Oh, noes. What have you done? What did you do?
What was your crime?
Why are you incarcerated?
I think it's probably me trying to do something good and then something bad happening out of it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like I am trying to go get my wife a cake from Porto's, which is our favorite bakery in Burbank, California. And maybe I want it so bad that I throw a rock through the window and I go retrieve that cake because it's the best cake ever.
I don't think that's accidental.
Maybe I slipped and the rock came out of my hand and smashed through the window. Maybe a little slip.
I think I'd break some glass for some cake.
Okay, let's just put it this way. Again, and now I'm just talking about treats now, right?
Stealing treats.
But
you're basically a cat is what you're saying.
Porto's chocolate cake is worth smashing a window and getting arrested.
You hear that, Porto's? You better get your gate down.
Oh, is that a new sponsor?
New sponsor brought to you by Porto's.
This is a good time. If you're in
LA,
brought to you by Rocks.
You can
break a window, you can get a cake.
I'm very food motivated, guys. What can I say?
If you were creating your wrestler in using the D&D abilities, what stat are you dumping and what stat are you maxing?
I think I'm maxing like dexterity for sure.
Okay.
Like to get around, like to move, maybe not do like big crazy damage, but I'm chipping away, you know?
Sure.
And I think logically, maybe I dump power at that point, but I feel like that would be a bad choice in wrestling. I feel like, dumping strength. Sorry, we call it power in our game, but
I got you.
Dumping strength would probably be not good. So I would say I'm probably gonna just dump intelligence and just go charisma dex, just Shawn Michaelsing it up, you know, just showboating and like kicking and punching and jumping
cutting
around
them
a
promos
lot.
And doing the head scissor takedowns.
Maybe it's not the most intelligent, cerebral type of assassination to happen, but you know,
you have a little constitution so you could take a beating.
You know? Yeah, that would be, I think I would dump that in favor, or I would dump strength in favor of constitution. Just
yeah,
so I could,
absolutely.
100%. Just constitution plus charisma equals salesman.
Absolutely.
Which just sounds more fun.
I like that.
Given the chance, if you could take any beloved video game franchise and turn it into a turn-based wrestling RPG, which franchise would you pick?
Well, I already did that because it's basically, you know, Paper Mario, Super Mario RPG.
So, yeah, I know, but I'm saying
with the characters.
Would it be the
quite
Mario
literally?
Characters?
Well,
quite
you know what?
They're wrestling though. It's in the same wrestling universe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh man. I feel like what would be a good. It's got to be like a Nintendo franchise. Mm-hmm. I don't know why my head went to Donkey Kong, just because it seems like there's a lot of like family stuff to
a lot of family
there,
drama. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of unexplored family drama that I feel like could be interesting in kind of a wrestling story setting. So let's go with Donkey Kong.
That's right, Donkey Kong. I have your brother.
He burned.
Is that Cranky
Kong?
Kong
burned down Donkey's house, and Donkey came back. Yeah, that's Cranky for sure. Wait, is Cranky Kong Donkey Kong's father?
He's the OG Yonky Dong from Yonky Dong.
So he's the bad Donkey Kong.
Yes,
or maybe the misunderstood.
But he's not Donkey Kong Jr. Donkey Kong Jr. Is the current Donkey Kong's
Donkey
dad.
Donkey Kong, yeah.
No, yes. Dad.
Okay.
Oh, so
but,
Cranky
but
Kong
he's not in any
his...
of it. Cranky no. Kong is, yeah. is there. I don't know if they're related.
So maybe then we'll find out in this wrestling story.
Maybe.
What happened
and,
to
and
DK's
see, and this
dad.
Is what I'm saying. There's enough here to unpack. Like, the
there's
Mario
plenty.
Lore is kind
of
like.
Why
whatever,
are some
but...
of them gorillas and others chimps? We don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't know. There's.
And there's like those fun. There's like that rhino character that said you can do.
Yeah.
The,
you, know. Mm-hmm. You got your crocodile guys.
Yeah,
whole bunch of gimmicks. There's a lot of gimmicks.
A barrel match.
Yep. I feel like King K. Rule sounds like a wrestler.
That is a wrestler. That is for sure a wrestler.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go.
Damn.
You're right.
And the music is good.
The music is great.
The music rips. So music I feel like great. You need good music in wrestling.
Absolutely. So. Without good wrestling, I mean, without good music, what is wrestling really?
I could definitely imagine
porn,
someone
but also
putting,
music.
Meat putting slaps. A barrel.
Meat slaps.
I could definitely see someone putting a barrel over someone's head while they're in the corner and doing the coast to coast like Shane McMahon used
heck
to do with the trash can.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a barrel.
Yeah.
I think that could work.
Yeah, absolutely. The next question is the final question and is the hardest question you're going to answer. It is a question with two possible answers.
Okay.
It is another this or that. Would you rather type, if you will. A baby can answer it. Like if you put a baby on the ground, it could choose one of these things.
And they have.
Mm-hmm. And they have.
Before.
They have.
Okay.
The question is, Andy or Steve?
And I can't ask. I can't say anything. I can't have any qualifiers. I just have to say one of the
qualifiers
two names.
Are up to you. We will not give you qualifiers.
Brain. Yeah.
I think you know that there can only be one Steve in the room.
Mm.
So Andy's got a great beard.
He does.
Different colors in it.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's got two distinct different colors.
I got a twisty mustache though.
Oh wow.
You have a twisty mustache.
So just based on the merits of of name overload.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to have to say my own name outside of
right.
You know, to anyone else. So then that's the only reason.
That's fair. That's a fair answer. I'm okay with
and
that.
And too many hats for me.
Way too many hats.
Too many
hats. I get it.
Hats.
Yeah. It was really hurting my head, okay? Yeah. It was really doing a number on my cabeza. Okay? It is what it is.
You're Jeff Cabeza.
You have to dump some of that intelligence, Steve. That's how you
I dump my int stats all the time.
All the time.
Except my next character in D&D, which is going to be a wizard. So we're going to be...
See, I was going to say, had Steve said Steve, it could have been about him.
Right.
Wouldn't have known you were talking about.
Do you spell your name V-E-N?
That's right. Ven.
See, I do.
I'm Ven. They call me Ven.
Yeah, I do PH, Ven. So there you go. It's different.
Oh, okay. All right. There's a new qualifier. You know what? That changed my answer then, because I thought you were...
Suck it, Andy.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It is pronounced differently, even if you don't know.
Yes, it's... You just say it fast so that it's pronounced the same. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. This was an absolute pleasure doing this. I had a great time. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at @duel_screens. I'm at @batchild27. Andy is at @pantsguy. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS podcast. And again, go to patreon.com/duelscreens. And for $1, you get into our Discord. You can hang out with us literally all day. We're in there chatting with the hardest core indie game fans. And we've created such a close group of friends that last Monday I got back from a trip where I met one for the first time, but we all got a cabin together. It was me, Matt, and a couple of Duel Screens listeners and contributors. We all got together and played D&D for 4 straight days in a cabin.
Dude,
and it was great. And that's sick. It was a wonderful time.
What a treat.
What a treat indeed.
What a treat.
Steve, where can everybody follow you? Where can everybody follow Wrestle Story and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I'm at the Steve Jimenez. I don't really post very much on Twitter because I'm busy making games. So go to @TikTokGames to follow, and on all relevant platforms. Go to WrestleStory.com if you want to check out the game and kind of get updates on what's going on with the game. And yeah.
And it's we would be real dumb if we didn't say that is spelled TikTok. TIC,
you know,
TOC.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Does it help or hinder your studio being called TikTok?
I would say it ends up evening out.
Yeah,
you're right.
In the wash.
Yeah. So don't be thinking that they're working for, you know,
ByteDance.
Yeah, none of that's happening.
We are
indie dev studio,
small studio in California.
California. All right. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And as always, please be excellent to each other.